looking for all your fantasy footy needs? Look no further.
You!
You're listening to the Fantasy Footy Fever Podcast. Here's your host, Max Matthews.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the AFL Fantasy Footy Fever Podcast following the conclusion of Round 3 and the Easter weekend. So I hope everyone enjoyed their long weekends and also scored well in Classic. So to kick off this episode, I'll talk about how my team went this week, followed by some player scores from each match, most trade in and out players, some break-even talk, captain options, and we'll obviously finish off with some questions from Instagram, like we do every other week. So, started this week at 46,000 in overall ranking, and after this week, I've climbed all the way up to 27,000, which is great looking at how my team performed in the first couple rounds. So, going into the round, I traded Wines and Newcombe out and brought in Tom Powell and Matt Crouch. So, I brought in Matt Crouch due to his hot start and his low break even. And Tom Powell looked like a value option in our forward lines and proved to score well with a 103. Matt Crouch just under the ton again. So started off with Dacos on the Thursday night and he opened up with a 101 against the Lions, which was pretty nice. On the Friday, I had a VC on Harry Sheasel, which went well, so he got 126, and I looped Lockie Whitfield onto my ground, made him my captain for his double points. A negative three and a plus three for this week. So a negative three goes to Massimo after a 0 point last quarter against Geelong yesterday on Easter Monday. So not what people would have wanted for the lot of people that trade him in. So he's now 25% owned. And he's now got an average score of 83, which isn't too bad. Break even did go up quite a bit. So I think it went up 20 odd points to 44. He'll still make money, obviously. But unfortunately, the wet weather footy didn't really go his way. And he ended up in my lowest four scores of the week. So they obviously got cut off due to the 18 top scorers. So my plus three also goes to a mid-pricer. It's Riley Bonner. So a little bit surprising with the amount of high scores that I had this week. But he had 32 disposals, 9 marks, and kicked behind. But was pretty good. He might get dropped due to the amount of turnovers he had. He had 17, which is the most since 2012 for any player. So for everyone who jumped on him a couple weeks ago, maybe you'd be pretty pleased with his output so far, 101, 61, and 127. So you'll enjoy that, and hopefully he gets a nod this week and plays against Richmond, which should be another classic friendly game for him. So I finished in the top 11,000 for the round, and my team was so Nick Dacos, Harry Sheasel, Zach Williams, Hayden Young, Massimo, Blake Howes on my bench got looped in for Lockie Whitfield, Marcus Bontempelli after a shaky first half, maybe even three quarters, he finished off with almost a 50 point last quarter, which saved his score a lot since he was playing full forward for most of the game. So maybe a little chance of forward status for DPP in round six, but due to his amount of time playing in the midfield in the opening two rounds, I wouldn't really think that he'd be eligible for forward status. Connor Rosie, another one that might get forward status for me. So he finished on a 99, now up to 960K. Matt Crouch, Nick Mann, obviously record-breaking 44 disposals for Essendon on the weekend. So he made 145 from those 44 disposals. Matt Roberts stepped in for me this week with a 94. Riley Bonner, as I just talked about, he was really good. Colby McKercher and Riley Sanders finished my midfield on the ground with Jai Clark and Jeremy Sharp on my bench. Brody Grundy scored well, 103. Didn't give away any free kicks this week, and he benefited from that massively. So he had 23 disposals and 21 hitouts, which is exactly what we saw against Max Gawn in the opening round. Tristan Jarry couldn't continue his run of hundreds, but still good nevertheless. 13 disposals, 32 hitouts, and 8 tackles, which is nice, similar to what Tim English does. Gets to the footy, tackles well in contests, and also gets quite a few hitouts. Harry Barnett got dropped from the Eagles side. Isaac Heaney as F1, he got 127, so he hasn't gone below 117 to start the year. So if you did start him, that's a very good pick from all the people that did. And I know a few people are still trying to catch him and generate cash so they can get up to him after his bye. But he has got West Coast this week, so looking at another big score to keep on top of that 123 average that he's got. Zach Fisher, 76. Tom Powell, 103. Both solid. Tom Powell, obviously, I traded in like so many people did last week. He is now up to an ownership of 18%, which is really good. So a lot of people have obviously caught on to how good of a scorer he is with his role as a CBA midfielder. James Jordan struggled. So definitely someone that a lot of people are looking to get rid of. It was against a pretty easy opposition, and he just wasn't able to generate the points. So he hasn't gone over 80 yet this season, which is a little bit of a concern. Has got the Eagles this week, so can possibly go above 80. So I wouldn't necessarily say he's a must trade, but definitely someone that you can trade out if you can get up to someone like a Sam Flanders, who's just come off his early buy, or someone else like maybe Dane Zorko if you want to go a little bit more unique. Darcy Wilson was on my field, so he got 35. Not what I wanted to see from him, but was playing a relatively easy opposition in Essendon, but just couldn't get the ball on a wing. Seth Campbell, 54. Not too bad. So that's his third highest score from the four games he's played so far. Time on ground's really good, just doesn't get much of the ball with a lot of people moving through. He's also on wing rotations as well, which is a little bit of a positive moving closer towards that midfield, but does play as a half forward for most of the time. Alex Sexton, I didn't trade out this week. He's on my bench. Harley Reid with a 43, and Charlie Lazaro is my utility. So I finished the round with 19.20. Team value before the round finish was 17.15 mil, and obviously around three ranking of just under the 11k. So I'll just go through each game and give you some fantasy scores that might be relevant to quite a few teams. Starting with the Brisbane-Collingwood game, so Collingwood got up by 20 points in the end. Lockie Neal, 118, first game back, and he clocked 35 disposals, 6 marks, 4 tackles, and a goal. So really well-rounded game from Lockie. Maybe if he continues this run of form, he has gone North Melbourne this week, friendly matchup, but only 2% of people own him. Hugh McCluggage is just a pretty consistent fantasy scorer, average of 92 now, and he had 104 from his 29 disposals. Tom Mitchell was back to his best after getting dropped a couple rounds ago, so he only had the 74% time on ground, but he had 102, so not too bad. Same as Dane Zorko, 82% time on ground, had 30 disposals off half back. If you were watching that game. So definitely someone you can look at in your forward line, but is injury prone like we have seen in the past few seasons and has been a trap. Nick Dacos, so 101. We thought it was going to be a pretty difficult opposition for him to score against, but was played off halfback a little bit more this week and had 30 disposals with 5 marks and was still able to get the ton for us. So for the... for the 53% that still own him, with the high break even, you can possibly get off him, but I would just be holding. We know that Finn McGuinness might come in, and I'll talk about him a little bit later, but he's still being able to score quite well. And if McGuinness does come in and Dacos goes to halfback, it's going to be interesting to see how he scores, since McGuinness isn't a forward normally. Josh Dunkley, from his 81 percentile on ground, had 102. And then we go down a little bit. And then you've got some rookies, such as Finlay McRae. So he came in as a sub, 31 from his 38 percentile on ground. So not too bad from him. Someone else that I talked about last week was Darcy Cameron. He only had 61% time on ground for 33 points. So he had 4 disposals, 2 tackles, and 17 hitouts. So Mason Cox was the main ruckman, surprisingly. So maybe Darcy Cameron can get forward status. That will be interesting to see post round 6. But just keep an eye on that. North Melbourne versus Carlton. So Carlton ended up getting over the line by 56 points. So Harry Sheezel, lowest time on ground percentage for the year, and was still able to clock 32 disposals with 8 marks, 5 tackles. So he's just a really consistent scorer at this point. Has gone up 73K, so maybe some people weren't expecting that. But as my vice captain, I was very pleased to see him up there. Harry McKay, if you did have him in your full line for draft, you'd be really pleased with this. So 10 marks, 19 disposals, 5 goals. Very nice game from Harry. George Hewitt, so a few people have traded him out after his 60 before his early buy. Came back and has 107 points. Elijah Hollins also had 107 for his first game in the Blues Guernsey. Tom Power, 103. Paddy Cripps also got his 100 this week. Charlie Kerno, more of a draft option, but he got 87. Trishan Jerry, 83, as I talked about a little bit earlier. Colby McKercher, 19 disposals, 6 marks, 77. Zach Fisher, 76. Not really the output that we were going for after his 120 in the preseason, but still is a relevant fantasy player when he gets defender status a little bit later in the season. George Wardlaw, low time on ground still, got the 70 points. Zach Williams, 85% time on ground, so that's slowly getting up there. And it's the most that we've seen him play in a match for a while. Only had 15 disposals, though. 4 marks for a score of 60, so someone that you might be looking to jump off in the coming rounds. Charlie Lazaro started off well. He had a goal a little bit early. Finished off with 16 disposals, so not too bad from Charlie Lazaro. If you had him on your field, probably wouldn't have got in your top 18 scorers. If he did, you obviously didn't have the best round. Toby Pink got 20, so not what a lot of people would have been wanting. Obviously, job security is a factor when picking him. He's going to be in the team for most of the year, but definitely someone that you might be able to look at if he does drop a decent score in the coming rounds. Next game was Freo versus the Crows. So obviously Fremantle got 35 points up on the Crows in the end. And Hayden Young was the top scorer with 129. So he had 32 disposals, 8 marks, 7 tackles, which was a really good game from him. Obviously a low time on ground, but it was nice to see him scoring well for the people that did hold him after a pretty ordinary week the week before. Caleb Sarong was back scoring well, 78% time on ground, so a little bit lower than the first few rounds. He had 118 from his 28 disposals, 6 marks and 6 tackles. Luke Ryan proves to be a pretty decent scorer down in the back lines, so 125, 98 and 112 from over 90 percent time on ground for each of those games. Rory Laird, Jordan Dawson, both just got over 100. Jordan Dawson still seems like the number one midfielder for the Crows. Rory Laird closely behind, and Matt Crouch third. So Jordan Clark is also sitting there amongst the top scorers. He had a 97 from 26 disposals, 7 marks, and just proves to be a very nice starting option if you went with him when he was around 690K. Matt Crouch, obviously I talked about him before. He had his 28 disposals, 5 marks, 5 tackles. Luke Jackson, if you brought in Luke Jackson instead of Isaac Heaney at the start of the year, he got you 88 points, and it's going to be probably one of his last weeks with Sean Darcy returning to training throughout the week. Andy Brayshaw was on the wing a little bit more than usual. He had 21 disposals, 4 marks, 5 tackles for a score of only 84, so we'll see him drop in price quite a bit over the next few games. And if he stops going on the wing for extended time periods, we'll see him getting on ball a little bit more and averaging over that 100 mark that we've seen him do in the past couple seasons. Isaac Rankin, I know that there's a few people that do have him, so he's owned by 8%. He scored 71, so we're just hoping for a game that he goes well and gets a lot of midfield time, but unfortunately that hasn't been the case in the first few games this year. Jeremy Sharp, so he got 63 from 84% time on ground, so his job security is no problem. Just his scoring needs to get boosted a little bit with a few more disposals and a few marks on the wing. Nat Fyfe, obviously very disappointing for owners. 61 from his 21 disposals, 15 of those disposals being handballs. Definitely someone that you can jump off if you think that you can get up to someone like a Sam Flanders. Chris Burgess, if you brought him in for the low break-even, he went up 41K, so he had 10 disposals and a goal with 2 behinds. Joshua Draper, a popular trade-in target if you need a defender rookie, so he only scored the 49, but will still go up in cash quite a bit, break-even of 7 this week. Josh Rochelle, for the people that have him, he just isn't looking like a fantasy scorer this year, and I jump off immediately. Same if you went with Taylor Walker as an older body, hoping that he'll kick a bag of goals for most weeks. He's just not looking like he's getting a good connection with the Crows midfielders on forward entry, so I'd be getting off him as well. First game on Saturday was Essendon and St Kilda. Really nice match if you watched it. Essendon got up by 4 points in the end after coming back in the last quarter. Nick Mann, obviously the big story, getting the most equal most disposals with Darcy Parrish with 44. He also had 8 marks and a tackle. So 97% time on ground. They didn't really want him off the ground. He had 1 break for the whole match in the first quarter. But after that, he just stayed on the ground for the whole time and racked up disposals whenever he wanted. Also took majority of kickouts, which I know a few people in the media are a little bit angry about. Riley Bonner, 82% time on ground. So looking at that, it's his highest time on ground percentage after that Geelong game where he scored 102. And it resulted in him getting a big score, which is really good for draft owners especially, but obviously a lot of people going for him in Classic. Jack Steele, Settler Man of Steel, is looking back to his best. So we obviously saw him be a million-dollar man a few years ago, and he had 29 disposals, 9 marks, 7 tackles. So really good game from the Saints captain, and definitely someone that you can look at trading him in very soon. Obviously hasn't got an early bye and is up against Richmond this week, which will be a really nice matchup for him. Similar to Rowan Marshall, so he had 84% time on ground, 20 disposals, 8 marks, 7 tackles, 27 hitouts. The only concern was his freeze against, which was negative 15 points. So 117 points from him. A lot of people do have him, so obviously a few people started him, 16% ownership right now. So that might go up as the year goes on when you want the best team possible. Zach Merritt also up there in the top scorer. So he had 110 from 30 disposals, 6 tackles and 3 marks. So he's still seeing it over the $1 million mark. has got a break even of 123 and does have Port Adelaide this week. So tough matchup for the Bombers going into this round. Darcy Parrish, first game back, over 100, which is just what owners want to see. Obviously, not many people would have started him in Classic due to that injury, but very draft relevant. He's going to score 100 most weeks with the amount of disposals that he gets. Jack Sinclair, first decent score back, so he had 3 disposals, but his marks and tackles were down from what we saw last year when he was a top 6 defender. So someone that I would definitely wait on, has got Richmond this week, so can possibly go big. And then you go down to someone like a Nazaire Wanganeen-Miller. So he was one of the top trade-in players last week, and he only scored 71 from his 20 disposals, lacked marks like he usually does. So he only had 2 tackles as well. Definitely a little bit of a concern with Sinclair back and Riley Bonner getting most of the marks on the half-back line, but I wouldn't be too worried. He'll most likely be a top 10 defender anyway. Archie Perkins, if you went for Archie Perkins a few weeks ago instead of someone like a Tom Power or someone like a Jack Billings, obviously not what you wanted with a 68. So someone that you can probably jump off after this week was most likely his last week of making some cash. Marcus Winhager, if you went on him, which 3% of people do own him, so he only went up 2K and will, I think he's been suspended for one match after a hit on one of the Essendon boys. And then you go down to someone like a Darcy Wilson, so, who scored pretty poorly, so only 35, as I talked about him a little bit earlier. Angus Hasty, so he started as the Medi sub and only scored 16 from his 22% time on ground. So he's gone down in money, so he now has a break-even of 32 and is now basement price after that. And we'll go over to the Melbourne-Port game. So Melbourne got up by 7 points in this one. Very nice game to watch, especially if you're a Max Gawn owner. So he scored 146 from 50 hit-outs, 20 disposals, 6 marks, 5 tackles, and 3 frees, 4. So if you're a Max Gawn owner, unlike me, so 43% of people are, you've been treated to a average score of 120 for each week and now has a break-even of 70. So against Rob this week, it's going to be interesting to see how he goes with hit-outs especially. So obviously got 50 against Soldo. I don't think Riley O'Brien will be giving up that many hit-outs, but definitely someone that you probably need in your team a little bit later in the season. Hopefully he doesn't get injured for all of the owners that do have him, but definitely one of the best fantasy scorers in the game. Willem Drew has had a surprising good start to the season, so he has an average of 102 now. So it's going to be interesting to see how he scores for the rest of the year. He's obviously one of the main people in the midfield. So obviously Ken Hinckley has identified that he's going to be a major ball winner, and he is also one of the best pressure midfielders in the game, I think. He always gets a high tackle count and always is matched up on probably one of the best players from each team. So he was on Christian Petrarca, Jack Viney, or Clay and Oliver throughout the game. So he obviously gets matched up on the guy that's most dominant in each game. Connor Rosey, 99 points from 86% time on ground, pretty consistent scorer, so 26 disposals, 4 tackles, and only got the 1 mark, which is surprising after a 10-mark game the week before. But is going to be someone that hopefully gets forward status and a lot of people will end up jumping on. He is owned by 15%, so a lot of people already do have him. With forward status maybe coming after round 6, it's going to be interesting to see how many people jump on immediately. Clayne Oliver continues to decrease in price, just what non-owners would like. So he has 936K to his name at the moment, average score of 96. Yet to see a really complete game from Clary. So only scored 94 this week, had 25 disposals. So getting the ball isn't a problem. It's just his marking tackling isn't up to scratch just yet. But going down 91K already, it's going to be interesting to see whether he can hit his form that he did last year and be one of the top averaging midfielders at the end of the year. Ollie Wines, if you still have Ollie Wines, I'd jump off now. I reckon he's just someone that's clogging up a midfield spot. Matt Roberts scores similarly to him every single week and he's 200K cheaper. So I'd rather field him, go Ollie Wines either up to someone that you desperately want, or you can go down to someone like a rookie maybe and have a massive cash grab. Christian Petrarca, 83 from 79% on ground. A little bit down in marks and disposals this week, but isn't too of a concern for owners that do have him. One of the more unique options from Melbourne. Definitely someone that is worth looking at because he does spend quite a bit of time up forward. Zach Barr's a little bit underwhelming for the owners that do have him. So he hit a 79 from 87% time on ground, 26 disposals. So that wasn't a problem. It was just mainly his marking and his tackling just wasn't there. A lot of pressure coming from Melbourne midfielders, which made it a little bit difficult for him. But hopefully he bounces back this week against Essendon, which is a little bit more of a friendly matchup for midfielders. And then that's about it. Oh, Christian Salem, obviously someone that is owned by about 8% of people now following his 52-point performance on the weekend. So only 11 disposals and 3 marks. So definitely someone that you probably should get rid of immediately with his buy coming up as well. I just don't think it's worth keeping him in your team. And same goes for Jack Billings, who only spent 58% time on ground and scored 30. So next game, Bulldogs and West Coast. So obviously this wasn't a good result for West Coast, losing by 76. Questions on Adam Simpson's coaching has been under the spotlight for the past few weeks, and this does not help him either. A little bit less of a high-scoring fantasy game, but Adam Treloar topped all scorers for 114. So he had 35 disposals and 4 tackles, so a really good game from Adam Treloar. Elliot Yeo, obviously one of the highest owned defenders at the start of the year, so he's 40% owned still with a score of 108. I can only really see his ownership going up from here, so 66% time on ground is obviously one of the biggest factors that maybe even limited his scoring on the weekend. So 29 disposals, 4 marks, 5 tackles in that time. And he went up 37K. So his break-even has now gone down to 50. Up against the Sydney Swans, which is going to be interesting to see whether that's a contested game or not. So obviously Sydney like limiting other midfields. So it's going to be fascinating to see whether Elliot Yeo can score against them. Jeremy McGovern has been one that's been on the rise fantasy-wise for the last few weeks. So 85, 103, 105 from the first 3 rounds. So he gets a lot of kicks down in the back line, gets a lot of marks like he has done for his whole career. But whether you really want to be that risky and jump on him, it's going to be something that you're going to need to be willing to take and can possibly impact you quite badly if he does go under what he's averaging right now, which is expected. Liam Duggan, so he has gone down 35K so far, and after a pretty bad first round performance of a 67, he's gone back to back hundreds. So someone that you can maybe look at if he continues his scoring. Obviously, he was one of the best defenders last year in the game and got 10 marks, 21 disposals this week. Marcus Bontempelli touched on him a little bit earlier, but saved his score in the last quarter with almost a 50-point last quarter. So he was playing forward for most of the match, only had 16 disposals, but did have 9 tackles and 6 marks with 3 goals as well. So someone that's gone down quite rapidly in price and does have 136 break-even this week. Geelong obviously have a week in midfield with quite a few players out. So if he does play midfield, which we're expecting him to, he should perform quite well. Bailey Dale, more of a draft-relevant option, but 102 from his 25 disposals, 10 marks. Tim English started off very well, so he had 2 goals, 24 hit-outs, and 17 disposals in the end. So I was expecting him to score quite a bit more, as would of the 20% of coaches that did end up captaining him. Definitely someone that you can look at. He's decreasing in price quite a bit now with a break-in of 142. It's going to be interesting to see whether he can hit that against quite a new ruckman in Toby Conway for Geelong this week. Harvey Gallagher, 90, so one of the best picks in the forward line so far this year in terms of rookies. So he had 2 goals and 16 disposals with 7 marks, 4 tackles. So very well-rounded game from the rookie. Riley Sanders was back scoring quite well, 85 from 72% time on ground. So Caleb Daniel, Jack McRae, both scoring 75. So both forward options, as quite a few people would know. Jack McRae was back a little bit more of a weird role. So he kind of played 3 positions all in the one game. So he played a little bit of wing, a little bit on ball, and a little bit half forward. 20 disposals, 7 marks, and 3 tackles. Had 76% time on ground. So obviously they were managing his minutes a little bit. Hopefully he can get back to scoring well like we have known him to do in the past. Tom Liberatore, obviously a little bit of a talking point in the last few days about Bevo subbing him off when he didn't really need to. So he had 18 disposals and 5 tackles, which was really good for a score of 73 in that 59% time on ground. And draft owners will be really mad at Bevo for subbing him off so early. And definitely someone that probably deserved to play a full match, would have dominated against a West Coast midfield. Harley Reid, another poor score from him. So 80% time on ground, only 12 disposals, 2 marks, 2 tackles. For a score of 43, it's just not really what we wanted. Has gone up 62K. And can probably be someone that you can get rid of in the coming weeks. If you want to free up a little bit of cash, go down to a basement price rookie. That's 160K right now. But he will most likely go up in price a little bit more with a break-in of 27. Next game was Richmond and Sydney. So Tim Taranto was back with the top score of 132 from 35 touches, 6 marks, 6 tackles, and a goal. So he's gone down 122K so far this year. And being a million-dollar man at the start of the year, we know what he can score when he does play well, like he did in this game. So he had 89% time on ground. And it's just good to see him scoring well. And if Richmond can start getting on a roll a little bit, against some pretty good opposition, quite a contested game as well. So it's going to be fascinating to see whether he can keep scoring the way he does. And if he does do that, it's going to be quite a good pickup at a very cheap price. Isaac Keeney continues his stellar run of form, his Brownlow form maybe to start the year. He had 27 disposals, 8 marks and 4 tackles. Also kicked 2 goals, so nothing to be concerned about there. And I think it's a must hold during his early buy. So he has West Coast this week, so maybe even a captain option. I'll talk about them a little bit later. Jake Lloyd, I'll talk about a little bit later from a question on Instagram, but he scored 107. Shea Bolton, draft relevant, he scored 106. Brody Grundy was back scoring over the ton this week against Toby Nankervis, 21 hitouts, 23 disposals. Exactly what we want to see from Brody Grundy, but unfortunately it might come to an end with his early bye in 2 weeks' time. And we will see whether he performs well this week and whether it's if we should keep him or not, or maybe go up to someone like a Tim English, Ron Marshall, Max Gawn, if you don't have him already. Matt Roberts, 94, so we've seen him score well in the first few rounds, and he top scored from his first four games this week, so he had 27 disposals and 8 marks, just what we wanted to see. Also played a little bit of wing time, but shouldn't be too concerned. He's one of the main ball users off halfback. Errol Goulden, 83, so not really what we wanted to see as Errol Goulden owners. 25 disposals in the end, didn't mark, didn't tackle, but did kick a goal. So someone that will be very cheap very soon, and someone that you should probably jump on in a few rounds' time. I just have a couple more looks. Maybe he does have a very good run to come up, though. So if you are an owner, he's got West Coast, then his early bye, followed by the Gold Coast Suns, Hawthorn, and GWS is a little bit tougher after that. Jane Shaw, if you're a Jane Shaw owner, this has just been a really bad pick to start the year. So he's gone down 54K and only scored 76. So he now has an average of 81, which is not what you wanted to see as one of the best fantasy scorers down back to start the year. And similar to James Jordan, obviously someone that's very highly owned, but only scored 60 from his 18 disposals, 6 marks. So someone that you can also get rid of this week. I might be doing it. We'll just see how the rest of my team goes. And it's going to be dependent on whether Zach Williams scores. I'll talk about him a little bit later. Seth Campbell, 81% time on ground, so obviously that's a huge positive. Did play wing, did play half forward, 14 disposals, 3 marks. And then we go down to a few of the rookies that there's not too much to talk about. Caleb Mitchell obviously made his debut this round with 10 disposals and 3 marks, so nothing too exciting down there. And then the Easter Monday game, so a very wet game if you were watching it. So James Warple was the main benefactor of this. So he had 36 disposals, 5 marks, 8 tackles, and a goal for a score of 152, which is absolutely enormous. And I just think that as a draft owner, you'd be really pleased with this, but I would not fall into the trap of getting James Warple yet. He has scored pretty well in the first 3 rounds, but I wouldn't be too excited just yet. Tom Stewart, second top scorer of the game with a 110 from his 24 disposals, 8 marks, 4 tackles, and probably going to be one of the best defenders this year. Has got a average score of 103. Similar to Mitch Duncan, so most likely going to be around that top 10 defender range, but it's just whether his body can hold up for the whole year. He will most likely get rested at some point this season. So he had 26 disposals and 9 marks. Also kicked a goal, which was pretty nice, from outside 50. Ollie Dempsey was obviously one of the best things to happen out of this game. So he had 88% time on ground, sorry, with 22 disposals, 6 marks, 7 tackles, with a score of 102. Gone up 174K already, so if you started with him, you'd be very pleased with that. And someone that I wouldn't necessarily want to get in this round, you've most likely missed the boat. So he's 426K, and I don't really think that you have much option to go down to him. I'd rather go with Harvey Thomas from GWS instead, since he's 200K cheaper. But Ollie Dempsey obviously has scored pretty well in the first few games of his career with a 92, 53 and 102. Max Holmes, so 94, a little bit of an injury concern early in the match, but came back on with 23 disposals and 6 marks. John Newcomb I traded out, and obviously that was a pretty good option for me since he only scored 79. His time on ground was up, though, which is a little bit better for owners that stuck with him, but unfortunately his output's just not as good right now. 23 disposals and 6 marks is just not really what we wanted to see. Jai Clark scored similar to him, and he only had 70% time on ground for a 76. So the best game we've seen from Jai Clark, he had 15 disposals with 7 tackles. Cam McKenzie, 76, so started off really well as one of the best scorers of the game. In the early stages, only had 64% time on ground in the end, and didn't score too well. Carl Amon, if you started with him, obviously you need to jump off right about now. 68% time on ground for 74. Nick Watson, the Wizard, had an up and down day with a couple pretty easy missed shots. But he had 16 disposals with 6 marks for a score of 71, which has been his best game so far. James Sicily owners will be a little bit concerned, but it was a wet game, so wasn't expecting him to mark as much as he usually would. He scored 70. Toby Conway was pretty good for his second AFL game, so he had 11 disposals and 18 hitouts. Also kicked his first goal, which was nice to see. Massimo D'Ambrosio, obviously, I touched on him earlier as my negative 3, and he had 16 disposals and the 4 marks. So obviously non-marking game, very contested game. So if you're a midfielder, that was the game that you were going to score well. Unfortunately, Massimo was put on halfback and the wing, so didn't see much inside midfield time, and just couldn't score well due to that. And that's about it for the games. So we'll just go into the most trade-in players and most trade-out players so far for the first few days after lockout. So Harvey Thomas is the most trade-in with 7.4K coaches trading him in. Tom Power, 6,000 coaches are trading him in. Ollie Dempsey is obviously someone that a few people are wanting to pay up for. And by a few, I mean 5,000 coaches. Sam Flanders, one of the top forward options that you can go up to since he's coming off his bye. So he's been traded in by 3,600 coaches so far. Harvey Gallagher, someone that a lot of people are jumping on him as well with a negative 19 break even. Tom Green, a lot of people would have been targeting him after his bye. So people might be sacrificing quite a bit to bring him in with that 127 average next to his name. Joshua Draper, so the defender rookie from Fremantle, one of the probably the best trade-in target for defender rookies. Riley Bonner, a few people are jumping on him, is now priced 1K off of 600K and has got Richmond, which is a pretty friendly matchup for him. Obviously, a few people might be trading him out due to the fact that he might get dropped, but we'll have to wait and see for team selections on Thursday night. Elliot Yeo, also been traded in by 1,400 coaches, same as Nick Munn and Isaac Heaney. I wouldn't advise getting Heaney just yet. I'd rather wait till after his bye, but obviously that West Coast matchup, he will most likely score quite well. And then rounding it off is Jack Steele and people that didn't start, Harry Sheasel. So that wraps up every single player that is traded in by 1,000 coaches or more. Most traded out people, though, so James Jordan, Nat Fyfe, and Zach Fisher, as well as Alex Sexton and Jack Billings, are all being traded out. So I am assuming that they're all going up to Sam Flanders in the forward line. So I definitely advise if you have got someone like Jack Billings, I would trade him out. I'm not too sure about Alex Sexton, but a lot of people trade him out. Last week, he was traded out by about 25K coaches. James Jordan has got a pretty friendly matchup against the Eagles this week, so I might just hold him for one more. Nat Fyfe, obviously a bit concerning with an average of 70 from his three games, and is still owned by 38% of coaches. And Zach Fisher, he can score well on his day. It's just he hasn't been able to provide us with the output that we were expecting at the start of the year. And after those forwards, we go to Darcy Wilson. So a lot of people will be going down to Harvey Thomas, most likely. Nick Caulfield still sitting on some benches for 2,500 coaches getting traded out. Harley Reid, 2.3K coaches trading him out. And 2,000 coaches trading out Marcus Bontempelli and Blake Howes, which is a little bit surprising since quite a few people are looking at holding them through the early buys. I'd advise not jumping off Marcus Bontempelli. I've been saying it all year that you probably shouldn't get rid of your primos, mainly due to the fact that they will eventually come good in the end. Bont has got an average of 99, so obviously not expecting this low of an average, even though it's almost 100. You'd be expecting more for one of the top price players to start the year. But unfortunately, he just hasn't hit his strides just yet. But he started the exact same way at the beginning of the 2023 season. So it might turn into one of those seasons yet again for the Bont. So Blake Howes also getting traded out by almost 2,000 coaches. So they're most likely going down to the Frio rookie. But we'll see how many coaches trade them out following the beginning of this round. And then we can go to break evens. So Harvey Thomas, Harvey Gallagher, Ollie Dempsey, Riley Sanders, Jai Clark, Aaron Cadman have all got negative break evens. Harvey Thomas with a break even of negative 22. And after that, it's Chris Burgess. Matt Roberts still has a break even of 3. So that's he's going to go up a lot in price yet again this week against the Eagles. Charlie Dean obviously hasn't been playing, but he still has a break-even of 4. Maurice Rioli has a break-even of 6. Colby McKercher also there with a break-even of 7, so he'll go up a little bit more as well. Joshua Draper for the Frio Dockers has a break-even of 7. And, yeah, that's about it. Obviously, if you've got someone like a Nick Watson, like a few coaches do, he also has a break-even of 8, so quite a few low break-evens there. If you go to higher break-evens, Tim English, Andy Brayshaw, The Bont, Dacos, Ollie, Clayne Oliver, Rowan Marshall, so all of the top price players from the start of the season obviously haven't been performing or are just underperforming a little bit from what they were priced at the start of the season, and they're just going to drop in price a little bit more. The only one there that I could see getting traded out by quite a few teams is Nick Dacos. I'll talk about him in a question coming up. But it's going to be interesting to see how he performs with McGuinness maybe coming in. So that does it for break-evens. And we'll move on to captain options for this week. Starting with the Thursday night game. So obviously it's gather round. Everyone, every single team is coming to Adelaide to play a match this week, and it starts off on the Thursday night with Adelaide playing the Demons. So obviously you've got John Dawson, Roy Laird, and Max Gorn in that game. I'd preferably go for Max Gorn. John Dawson might be an interesting option since he has scored well in the past against Melbourne. On the Friday night, VC on Harry Sheezel can be another play this week. But unfortunately, Brisbane don't give up that many points. But Harry Sheezel hasn't been fussed by who he's playing so far this year. So he should just be another good option as well this week. Connor Rossi against Essendon. You've also got Zach Merritt in that game as well, so possibly some decent options there. Maybe Brody Grundy and Isaac Heaney against West Coast this week. Very favourable matchup for both of them. I wouldn't be that bold in going Brody Grundy, but definitely Isaac Heaney can be someone that I'm definitely considering this week. Caleb Sarong against Carlton, obviously one of the top scorers to start off the year. Unfortunately, Carlton is also one of the hardest midfields to score against, so it's going to be interesting to see how Brayshaw, Sarong, Hayne Young all score this week. Marcus Bontempelli against Geelong, so obviously a little bit of a depleted midfield in Geelong right now with Paye Dangerfield going down with a hamstring. Definitely someone that you can captain. Hopefully he doesn't get put forward by Bevo again. Sam Flanders, Tuk Miller, Tom Green, all in that game on the Sunday at 12 o'clock. So that's going to be an interesting game. Obviously not played at the Adelaide Oval, so that's going to be something to watch since it's a little bit of an unusual ground. And then you go to St Kilda versus Richmond. So Rowan Marshall, Jack Steele should score very well. And Collingwood Hawthorn, if you are really bold and McGuinness doesn't end up playing, Nick Dacos is definitely a play that you can do on the Sunday night. So those are the top captain options. For me right now, I'm going Harry Sheasel into Isaac Heaney, thinking that that's going to be the best matchups that you can do right now. And then I'm just going to go through some Instagram questions that some people have sent through. So if you want, if you have Alex Sexton, James Jordan and Zach Williams, which two go out for you first? So I'd say that you probably would rather get rid of, oh, this is a tough one. I reckon you should probably get rid of Zach Williams, mainly because his scoring output is like, not very good at all. So he averages 68 right now. Definitely not what owners would want. He has got a lowish break even of 44, but it's slowly creeping up and he's barely making any money each week right now. So I can definitely see a world where you're going Zach Williams down to someone. So I'd get rid of Zach Williams, and it's a little bit tough between Alex Sexton and James Jordan. So Alex Sexton will get defender status at the end of round six. But obviously there are a few midfielders that some people might have that can also go into the defense. So maybe if you've got some of them, you'd want to flick Sexton right now. Obviously James Jordan has his upcoming early bye as well. So, but he does have West Coast this week. So I think that you'd rather hold James Jordan right now. I'm in the same mind as this person right here, whether I want to get rid of James Jordan first or Alex Sexton. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. If Taylor Adams also comes in, it's going to be interesting to see where James Jordan plays and how his scoring output is affected by him. Another question, is Jake Lloyd back to his best? I'd say no. I don't think he is a classic relevant option at all. Maybe draft. You can maybe see him scoring well this year, but Jake Lloyd is nowhere near to a classic option. You've got so many players that you can go with at a similar price. And finally, can you trade Nick Dacos this week? The answer is yes, you can definitely trade Nick Dacos. Has got his upcoming early buy, has got a high break even of 134, hasn't hit those numbers yet this year. He scored 3 tons in his first 4 games. So it's something that you can definitely do. And if McGuinness is named, he's most likely going straight to Nick Dacos. So if he plays off halfback, it's going to be interesting to see if McGuinness follows him, since McGuinness is mainly a on-baller. in a article that came out during the week. So McGuinness has responded well to his axing from the senior side with a strong performance in Box Hill's 34-point comeback win over Geelong in the VFL. McGuinness gathered 27 disposals and 10 marks and had 5 clearances while also kicking a goal. So obviously a very good game from Finn McGuinness, and I wouldn't be surprised if he does get selected with how Hawthorn are performing right now. Maybe gets vested, I'm not too sure. If he does start the game, he'll most likely go to Nick Dacos if Nick Dacos starts as a midfielder. Just going to be something really interesting to watch. I am going to every single match at Adelaide Oval this week, so that's obviously going to be a fun watch to see on the Sunday afternoon match, as well as quite a few other very fantasy relevant names also playing at the Adelaide Oval this weekend. So those are all the questions that I have received from Instagram so far. If you have anything else that you'd like me to talk about, maybe in next week's podcast, or you can even message me on Instagram at AFL Fantasy For Your Fever Podcast. And it's just nice to get some questions in from the public to see how I can help them. And if you do think that you have a question that a lot of people would also like to hear, send them through and I can answer them whenever you'd like. But please do go follow me on Spotify, obviously where you might be listening to this now, also on Apple Podcasts, and finally go follow me on Instagram. So as I said just before, AFL Fantasy For Your Fever Podcast is my name on Instagram, so go follow that. I have weekly updates on my team, as well as some questions for the podcast that I upload every single week. So stay tuned for the rest of the podcast coming up for the rest of the year. And I hope everyone has a good fantasy week this week. We're back to the top 22 scorers for this round before Collingwood and Sydney go into their early bye round in round 5. And then we'll go at the end of round 6 for first DPPs, which is going to be interesting to see how some people get dual status and some people don't. But it's going to be a lot to unpack in the next few weeks. So thank you for listening to the AFL Fantasy For Your Fever Podcast, and good luck for this round.